الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading what the author he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى about the signs of the sound heart mentioned by Ibn Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى in his work إغاثة الأحفان and he mentioned that there are six signs and we had taken the first sign and indication of the soundness and the strength and the goodness of the heart, and that is with regards to dhikrullah azza wa jal, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remember Him often and to be constant in the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal and to remember Him with the heart and with the tongue and in compliance to His legislation subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have seen a number of benefits with regards to the first issue. We continue reading. The author, he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى العلامة الثانية العلامة. He mentioned حفظه الله تعالى, the second sign, أن يألم عند فوات الورد, that the person, he will feel pain and remorse, heartache, whenever he misses the ورد. The ورد, this is a word in reference to a specific type of action that a person, he'll take upon himself and he'll perform it daily. Some non-obligatory actions of worship that a person, he would accustom himself to, and he'll perform them daily. And he mentions examples, and he says, كَأَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ مَثَلًا وِيرْدٌ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ يُصَلِّي. Like, for example, that he would have a weird, yani a portion or an amount of the night prayer that he will pray nightly. It's called the wird, and it's something that he will be consecutive with regards to, and he'll perform daily. أو حزب من القرآن, or a portion from the Quran. أو نحو ذلك, or the likes of this. Meaning that a person, he will take it upon himself and he will accustom himself to do particular non-obligatory actions of worship, like standing in the night prayer, for example, a particular amount of rak'ah that he will stand every single night. He will pray, for example, the witr, 3 rak'ah, every single night. This is what he's accustomed to, or even more than that, if that is what he has become accustomed to, or a portion from the Quran. For example, he says here, حزب من القرآن, meaning a portion. Some people, they'll take a juz, for example, 20 pages, or others, maybe they'll have less than that, 10 pages, or maybe they'll have more than that. For example, that they read daily from the Quran. This is called a wird. And the plural is awrad. So what is intended by missing the wird, and he missing this non-obligatory action of worship that he has accustomed himself to performing daily. Maybe it's a particular amount of rak'ah in the night prayer, for example. Or maybe it is an amount from the Quran that he will read daily, that he will never forget or leave off. And he has set amount that he will not go below. Maybe he will do more sometimes, but he will never miss that minimum requirement, that wird that he has accustomed himself to. And this is something that is dear to him and he loves. So he says, فَإِذَا فَاتَهُ يَأْلَمُ لِفَوَاتِهِ أَعْظَمَ مِنْ تَعَلُّمِ الْحَرِيسِ عَلَى الْمَالِ لِفَوَاتِهِ لِلْرِبْحِ فِي مَالِهِ. And if he missed that wird, and he missed those raka'at that normally he prays in the night prayer, or he got preoccupied all throughout the day, and the evening likewise has come, and then he missed reciting that portion from the Quran that he normally recites daily. If he misses this until the next day comes, he will find pain. He will find remorse and heartache. He will feel bad. He will find pain in his heart and heartache and the likes like this more than the one who is diligent over his wealth if he lost out on some profit and his wealth. And he meaning if there's a businessman and he had a great opportunity in front of him and then he failed to seize that opportunity, and in that manner he lost out on great profit and great gain and benefit. How bad he would feel that he had not taken advantage of that, and that he had missed out on this great opportunity. He would have heartache and he would worry about it and he would think about it and the likes like this, and it would bother him. So this is the case of the one with the sound heart. First and foremost, he already has the wird. This is an indication the heart is sound, that he has deeds from the non-obligatory actions of worship that he's performing daily, a portion from the night prayer, or a portion from the Qur'an that he has taken upon himself and accustomed himself to reading or reciting and the likes like this, or standing in the prayer, so on and so forth. So he will have this already, and this is a sign this is a sign that he's striving and his heart is good. And then on top of that, if he were to miss out on that, to become preoccupied and to be deterred from that for some reason, something that will happen that normally doesn't occur to deter him from his wird, from the Quran, or from the night prayer, he will have great remorse and he will feel pain and heartache in his heart, and it will bother him. And it will bother him. He says more, it will bother him more than the one who was a diligent businessman if he were to miss out on a great opportunity for profit in commerce and trade. He says, لِأَنَّ الَّذِي هُوَ فِيهِ أَعْظَمُ وَالْرِبْحُ الَّذِي فِيهِ أَكْبَرُ, because that which this person is engaged in is greater. يعني ذي المتاجرة بين العبد وربه سبحانه وتعالى أعظم. The trade and the commerce between the slave and his Lord is greater than the commerce between the people. And likewise, the profit and the gain, the reward and benefit that comes out from that is greater as well. So this is from the signs of the good heart, of the sound heart, of the healthy and the strong heart that is alive. And we take the benefit here again. Number one, that this type of person, they have a wird. They have a wird, they have awrad, they have actions of worship that are not obligatory, that they perform daily. Maybe, for example, the adhkar in the morning or in the evening, so on and so forth. If he were to become preoccupied and to forget them and to remember them later, the person who is accustomed to that, he will feel bad. He will feel bothered. It will hurt him that he missed out on that, that the time had passed and he did not have the opportunity and he forgot and neglected that affair. This is something that will bother him. Or if he reads normally, for example, 5 or 10 or 20 pages from the Quran, or more than that, daily. Normally he's reading this portion from the Quran, but something happened on a particular day and he got preoccupied and he was not able to read that in the manner that he used to read. This would bother him and this would hurt him. Likewise, if he has a portion from the night prayer that one night came by and he slept on it, for example, and did not get up in time, or something happened and he neglected that or forgot that, this would bother him in a great manner and he will feel pain in his heart because of this. So if this is the case with regards to the wird, then how about the case of an obligatory action? Someone who missed the obligatory prayer. Someone who missed the obligatory actions. And how would they feel? And this person here with a sound heart, he feels pain and regret. And it's a problem in his life whenever he misses out on these non-obligatory actions that he normally will perform. So how about if he missed an obligation? So this is a sign that the heart is sound and the contrary is true. So many people that have deficiency in their faith and they have sickness in the heart, maybe they will miss an obligatory prayer. Maybe they'll miss an obligatory prayer and they will not feel any remorse or feel any problem whatsoever and make excuses for themselves like it's nothing. So this is from the signs of the sound heart. The author, he says, Al-alamatu al-thalitha, the third sign, shuhu sahibihi bilwaqt, لِحِرْسِهِ الشَّدِيدِ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَنْ يَضِيعَ أَوْ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ سُدًا بِغَيْرِ فَائِدَةٍ. He says the third sign is that this person here, the person of a sound heart, the person with a sound heart, he has shuh for his time. A shuh, literally it means stingy. He's stingy with his time. Shuhun. Shuhu sahibihi bilwaqt, that he has shuh, he's stingy with his time because of his great diligence to observe it and to benefit from it, that anything from his time would be wasted or neglected or go without any benefit. So he will be diligent with regards to his time and he will not waste his time, nor will he let others waste his time. Rather, he will busy himself with that which is most beneficial, and he'll be cautious from neglecting the issue of time or falling into negligence with regards to his time, because he knows the value of time, and that is something that once it's gone, it does not come back. So he says, لِأَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْمَصَالِحِ إِنَّمَا تَنْشَأُ مِنْ حِفْظِ الْوَقْتِ. And this is because all of the best interests of a person, all of the good and the best interests of a person, it only comes about by way of maintaining the time, taking care of and preserving the time. Maintaining, taking care of, and preserving the time. This is how a person, he will find benefit and blessing in his life, by striving to benefit from the time and not to waste it nor neglect it. Not to waste it nor neglect it. So he says, فَمَتَى أَضَاعَ الْإِنسَانُ وَقْتَهُ ضَاعَتْ مَصَارِحُهُ. So whenever a person he neglects his time, then that which is in his best interest and the good in his life likewise will be neglected, will be lost and neglected. وَمَا فَاتَ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ لَا يُسْتَدْرَكُ. And that which is lost from the time, it is not able to be brought back. A person, whatever he missed out from time, he will not be able to catch up with that. Meaning he will not be able to benefit that or to recompensate that. That time was gone and that opportunity has passed. That time is gone and that opportunity has passed. He says, وَلِهَذَا جَاءَتِ السُّنَّةُ بِالْحَثِّ عَلَى اغْتِنَامِ الْوَقْتِ بِالْحَثِّ عَلَى اغْتِنَامِ الْوَقْتِ. And for this reason, the sunnah has come with great encouragement to take advantage of the time. وَلَا سِيَمَا وَقْتِ الشَّبَابِ. Especially the time of the youth. The time of the youth, meaning in a person's lifetime. So we can look at the time from a number of aspects. A person's time daily, and likewise his time in his life in general. His time in his life in general. So daily a person, he will take care of his time. But likewise for the youth, they must as well take special care of that time. Because this is the prime time, whenever their health and their mind is strong and they're able to think and to reflect and move and they're able to benefit themselves and likewise others. If they take advantage of the time and do not neglect and waste their youth in frivolous affairs like many of the Westerners are involved in these days. So he says, وَالتَّحْذِيرُ مِنْ تَلْضِيعِهِ وَعَلَامَةُ الْمَقْتِ كَمَا قِيلَ تَلْضِيعُ الْوَقْتِ. So the sunnah, جاءت السنة بالحث على اغتنام الوقت ولا سيما وقت الشباب والتحذير من تضييعه. So the sunnah has come with the encouragement of taking advantage of the time, especially the time of the youth, and a warning from neglecting the time. وعلامة المقت كما قيل تضييع الوقت. And the sign that Allah despises a person, وليعوذ بالله, المقت is الكره الشديد. المقت يعني البغض الشديد. المقت, this is a word that means like severe, stern detest and dislike. So the maqt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sign that Allah yamqutu abdan wa liyadhu billah, the sign that Allah, he despises or detests a person, as has been mentioned, is that they will waste time. They will waste time. لأن المصالح لا تتحقق إلا بحفظ الإنسان لوقته ورعايته له وعنايته به. Because the best interest and the good and the benefits in this life and the hereafter, the benefits in general, they are not going to be actualized, and he will not realize them nor achieve them except by a person preserving and maintaining his time and looking after and taking care of his time. Looking after and taking care of his time. He says, فَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ صِحَّةِ الْقَلْبِ فَمِنْ عَلَامَاتِ صِحَّةِ قَلْبِ الْمَرْءِ شُحُّهُ بِوَقْتِهِ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ ضَائِعًا فِي الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي لَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهَا فَضْلًا عَنِ الْأُمُورِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ مِنْ غِيبَةٍ وَنَمِيمَةٍ وَسُخْرِيَةٍ وَاسْتِهْزَاءٍ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. So from the sign of a person's sound heart, so from the signs of the person's sound heart is that he will be stingy with his time. He will be tight with his time, not to let any of it go neglected or be wasted in affairs that have no benefit. That have no benefit. More rightfully, affairs that are forbidden. And more rightfully, in affairs that are forbidden, like backbiting and carrying tales and belittling and mocking others and the likes like this. And he will not let his time be wasted in affairs that are lawful, much less affairs that are forbidden and prohibited. So this is a great benefit. It's been narrated from Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. He died in the year 110. He said, لَقَدْ لَقِيتُ أَوْ قَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَّحَّ عَلَى وَقْتِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِدِرْهَمِهِ وَدِنَارِ رَأَيْتُ أَقْوَامًا أَوْ رَأَيْتُ قَوْمًا كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَّحَّ بِوَقْتِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِدِرْهَمِهِ وَدِنَارِ. That I have met people that one of them, he was more stingy with his time than you are with your dinar and your dirham, than you are with your gold and your silver, any meaning with your money. The way a person, he'll be greedy with his money, or be tight with his money, or he will be cautious with his money. The Salaf, they were like that with their time. The same way a person, he will not let anyone just waste his money and the likes like this, or take his dollar and waste it and use it of no benefit, so on and so forth. He'll be cautious with regards to his wealth and how he spends it and where it goes. Likewise, the Salaf, they were in this manner cautious with their time, how they spent it and where it goes. And where it goes. And this is something that's very important. And there's a relation, there's a relationship to this issue and the one that has preceded. And the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla is from the greatest means to help a person and carry him to take advantage of his time and not to neglect it. And if a person, he continues upon that way, making the muwadaba, as we have seen, on the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his obedience, then he will not have time for the people. And he will find more comfort and happiness and joy whenever he's alone, whenever he's in the company of the people. And many times he will be lonesome, or he will feel strange in the company of the people. And then whenever he's alone, he will feel better, and he will find more comfort and peace and happiness because of his contentment with his religion and the strength of his faith and the connection that he has with his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been mentioned by Ibn Aun, rahimahullah, that he said, ذِكْرُ النَّاسِ دَاءٌ وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ دَوَاءٌ. That to mention and remember the people, this is the disease. And to remember Allah, it is the cure. So remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla is the cure. It's the cure for the sick heart and for the problems and troubles. And that means to find contentment, happiness, and peace. And as for problems, they come about whenever people start discussing the issue of men. The issue of men and what's happening with the people. This is whenever problems arise. And then following that is anxiety and troubles and grief and worry. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this narration in Sira Alama Nubala. And he says, قُلْتُ إِي وَاللَّهِ. I say, yes, indeed. I swear by Allah that is true. فَالْعَجِبُ مِنَّا وَمِنْ جَهْلِنَا كَيْفَ نَدَعُ الدَّوَاءَ وَنَقْتَحِمُ. He says, yes, and I say, wallahi, that's true. And it's amazing. What's so amazing from us and from our ignorance is that we leave off the cure and we hasten in advance upon the disease and the sickness. And leaving off the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and being preoccupied with the remembrance of the people. Some of the poets, they have mentioned, لِقَاءُ النَّاسِ لَيْسَ يُفِيدُ شَيْئًا سوى الاكثار من قيل وقال فأقلل من لقاء الناس إلا لأخذ العلم أو إصلاح حالي. لقاء الناس ليس يفيد شيئا. Meeting with the people does not benefit anything. سوى الاكثار من قيل وقال, except for having a lot of he said, she said. فأقلل من لقاء الناس إلا لأخذ العلم أو إصلاح حالي. So you should minimize meeting with the people except in the case of taking knowledge and rectifying the circumstance and situation. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his book Al-Fawaid, he said rahimahullah, إِضَاعَةُ الْوَقْتِ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. That wasting time is more severe than death. إِضَاعَةُ الْوَقْتِ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. That wasting time is more severe than death. لِأَنَّ إِضَاعَةَ الْوَقْتِ تقطعك عن الله والدار الآخرة والموت يقطعك عن الدنيا وأهلها And that is because wasting time, it cuts you off from Allah and the good home and the hereafter. And as for death, then it only cuts you off from this worldly life and His people. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى الوقت كالسيف إذا لم تقطعه قطعك. إِذَا لَمْ تَقْطَعْهُ قَطَعَكَ. That time is like a sword. If you do not cut it, it will cut you. Meaning that time is very dangerous. If you do not take advantage of it, it will be a means for your failure. And destruction. We only have time. We have nothing but time in this life. It's breaths that are running out. Some people, the time that they have spent in this life is longer than the time that they have left. Meaning that the time that they have left is shorter than the time that they have spent already. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a long life upon obedience and upon tawheed and the sunnah. But the reality is that time is running out. is running out. It's been mentioned from Imam al-Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala that he said in some lines of poetry, أَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْخُسْرَانِ أَنَّ لَيَالِيًا تَمُرُّ بِلَا نَفْعٍ وَتُحْسَبُ مِنْ عُمْرِي تَمُرُّ بِلَا نَفْعٍ وَتُحْسَبُ مِنْ عُمْرِي أَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْخُسْرَانِ أَنَّ لَيَالِيًا تَمُرُّ بِلَا نَفْعٍ وَتُحْسَبُ مِنْ عُمْرِي. Is it not from failure and loss that the nights will pass by without any benefit, and they are considered from my life, and they're considered from my life, and they're taken from my life? أَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْخُسْرَانِ أَنَّ لَيَالِيَ تَمُرُّ بِلَا نَفْعٍ وَتُحْسَبُ مِنْ عُمْرِي. Is it not from loss and failure that the nights they will pass by without any benefit, and they're considered from my life? A person's life, there are days and nights, moments that are passing by. If a person, he does not take advantage of them, then it's going to be difficult for him to have good deeds sent forth for him to be weighed up in the scale. So this life is an opportunity. This life is the mazra'atul akhirah, yani the garden, yani the garden for the hereafter. You have to toil, you have to work, you have to strive, and you have to make effort for the good home in the hereafter. And if a person, he does not toil the soil and take care of the irrigation and planting the crops properly until they're nourished and they're beneficial, then his garden will be fruitless. And likewise, the one who does not take advantage of his time in this life, then his hereafter will be fruitless. Any meaning that he will have great remorse and great grief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something the Salaf, they used to say, that the sign that Allah detests and does not like a person is that he will leave him to himself and he will waste his time. So this is something to remember. Whenever we're trying with wasting our times. And from the great things that waste your time are these cell phones here, and the YouTube, and this one and that one. And even maybe a person initially, he didn't intend to waste his time, but then he gets sucked in. And next thing you know, time is gone. And he's sitting there for an hour, or 2 hours, or even longer. So these devices, they have much benefit in them. And a person, maybe he could use them for a long period of time, and that which is beneficial. But if he's not conscious, they could lead him to wasting his time, or even lead him to falling into that which is forbidden and impermissible. So taking advantage of the time and benefiting from the time and being tight with one's time and not wasting one's time and not letting others waste one's time likewise, and being upon that path, caring for one's time and what he does in one day and one night and the likes like this, and making his affairs in order, this is all a sign that the heart is sound. Someone who has a sound heart, he has better things to do than argue with the people, or dispute with the people, or to go back and forth with the people, or to talk about this or to talk about that from the affairs of the dunya. Maybe there are many things in the dunya occurring in politics or occurring in this land or in that land. The people with sound hearts, they have no clue about them. The غافلون عن هذا, yani they're completely heedless of these affairs. They have no clue about these issues. Alhamdulillah, they have no clue. A person who benefits from his time, he cares about his time, he's not going to be caught up in these affairs. Looking at the stats of basketball players, or looking at how many votes so-and-so has, or looking at the politicians and the Democrats and the Republicans. And he doesn't have time for that type of stuff. We're not created for that. What they're doing in this land and that line, so on and so forth. If he needs to get some information about the news in the vicinity or the world news in general, he would do that in moderation, and he would do that in a manner with wisdom and with understanding in the religion. And he will take his need from that, and then he will leave it. He says, حَفِيظَهُ الْعَلَامَةُ الرَّابِعَةُ, the fourth sign. أَنْ يَكُونَ هَمُّهُ وَاحِدًا وَأَنْ يَكُونَ فِي اللَّهِ فَيَجْعَلُ هَمَّهُ لِلَّهِ وَيَتْرُكُ مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. He says the fourth sign of the sound heart is that his concern is one. His ham, his niyyah, his intention, his concern, what he's looking for, what he's hoping for, what he wants is only one thing. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. And that is for this. That is Allah. His concern is for Allah. His care is for Allah. His desire is hoping for Allah. فَيَجْعَلُ هَمَّهُ لِلَّهِ. He will make his ham, his concern, his desire, his want, that which he's searching for, that what he's hoping for, is Allah alone, and he will leave everything else. and he will turn away from everything else. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْمُسْنَدِ وَغَيْرِهِ And has come in the Musnad and other than that, عَنْ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ From our Prophet, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَنُّهُ قَالَ That he said, مَنْ كَانَ هَمُّهُ الْآخِرَةِ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ شَمْلَهُ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever makes his main concern the hereafter, then Allah will gather his affairs for him, and he will place his richness and wealth, his contentment, and his heart, and the worldly life will come to him submissively, So here, a person he has to check his intention and make his aim and goal the hereafter, and every other aim or goal or objective he has in life, anything else that he wants to do in his life, it must follow in line and support and be a means to reach the main goal. If you ask any believer, is your goal to go to paradise? Do you hope to go to Jannah? Are you seeking the pleasure of Allah? All of them, of course, they will say yes. But many of them, they have other objectives and their goals that are not leading to Jannah. They have other objectives and goals that are not leading to Jannah. They have ideas in their minds. They want to have this career or that career, or they want to be this person, or have this job, or this occupation or that occupation. And if one were to look at that in detail, you will find that that is not a way that's leading to the pleasure of Allah. Not meaning that a person can never have a career or he can never have an occupation, but a person has to do that with fiqh and understanding in the deen. And the career and the occupation cannot be one that will interfere with the main goal. That will take a person away from the main goal. That will take a person away from the pleasure of Allah and from the home in the hereafter. Because many people, they're on the wrong path. Especially the women. Waliyadu billah, with the goals they want to be in life. The men likewise. The brothers and the sisters, the Muslims. They have ideas in their mind affected by the ideologies of the Westerners, which has tainted and corrupted the hearts in a great manner, and they desire and they are working on a path that does not lead to paradise. And many of them, they have false hopes. Waliyadu billah, like the Murji'ah, and this is from the reason why we study the deviant sects, because many people, they are affected by them and they're upon the ways of those deviant sects of old, yet they think that they're upon the good way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they're contrary, And this is not proper. So a person, he must make his concern one. He must make his aim and his goal one. And he must realize his purpose in this life. And this is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this life is a trial and a test, and it does not last. So we should not become preoccupied with this life and turn away from the hereafter. Rather, we should take what we can from this life and benefit from that which is lawful in this life to achieve our goal and to work for the pleasure of Allah and the good home in the hereafter. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his Dunya, he has some lines of poetry indicating this affair likewise. He says, "Fali wahidin kun wahidan fi wahidin, a'ni sabil al-haqi." وَالْإِيمَانِ فَلِوَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا فِي وَاحِدِي أَعْنِي سَبِيلَ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ فَلِوَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا فِي وَاحِدِي أَعْنِي سَبِيلَ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ فَلِوَاحِدٍ for one كُنْ وَاحِدًا be one فِي وَاحِدِي in one أَعْنِي سَبِيلَ الْحَقِّ وَالْإِيمَانِ what I mean is the path of truth and sincere faith So he's referring to three different affairs here that require for a person to single out, to make tawheed. The first one, فَلِي وَاحِدٍ كُنْ وَاحِدًا That you must first for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be sincere and make your devotion for Him alone and free your religion from any aspect of shirk, inwardly and outwardly, major or minor. And this is called tawheed. Al-Matlub, Tawheed al-Matlub, Fali Wahidin, yani for the sake of Allah, the one that you are seeking after, the one that you're hoping for, the one that you are hoping to be accepted from and to have His pleasure is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the one who makes his intention in this manner, sincerely and purely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah, based upon knowledge and insight, then he will in this manner be safe from shirk. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, major and minor. He would attach himself to Allah. He would attach his heart to Allah. He would love Allah. And he would hope in Allah. And he would fear Allah, and he'll put his trust and reliance in Allah, and he will comply to the commands of Allah, and he will work for the pleasure of Allah, and he will fear the punishment of Allah. This is called Tawheed al-Matlub, bil-Ikhlas. Tawheed al-Matlub. And you kuna Allahu wahdahu matlubaka. That Allah alone, he's the one that you're searching for. He's the one that you're hoping for. He's the one that you're working for. He's the one that you hope to please. That you hope to please and hope to have his acceptance and his mercy and his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fari wahidin kun wahidan. Kun wahidan, yani kun wahidan. This means yani tawheed al-talab. Mean you have to be one. You have to be one. You single out Allah alone. You single out Allah alone. He's the one that you're searching after, and then you have to make your intention purity and sincerity and all of your determination for Him. You have to make your intention and your determination, all of it entirely, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is called Tawheed al-Talab. So you have Tawheed al-Matlub wa Tawheed al-Talab. Tawheed al-Matlub wa Tawheed al-Talab. You have Tawheed al-Murad wa Tawheed al-Irada. Tawheed al-Matlub, yani Tawheed al-Murad. This is al-Ikhlas, the one that you're wanting and you're intending, the one that you're seeking after. It must be Allah alone. Fadi wahidin, yani for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in doing that, you cannot be distracted. You cannot be distracted. You cannot have different aims and different goals. You cannot seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and also love the dunya and prefer the worldly life. And love the dunya and prefer the worldly life. Rather, you can love from the dunya that which is lawful for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then that love is in accordance to the love of Allah and not going beyond that. But whenever a person, his heart is divided and he has different ideologies or different ways, or he's not sure what he wants in life, he will start turning this way and start turning that way. And he will become, he will have many different aims and many different goals, and he will want many different things, and they will turn him away from intending sincerely the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he must yani make tawheed al-talab, and yuwahida al-talab wa niyya, that he will make his intention and his determination, his azima and his himma, his concern, sincerity for the sake of Allah. This is what is intended in the narration. So in this manner, a person, he will be safe from becoming distracted and from his intention in his life being in disarray and from going left and right and not being focused on the main goal. Not being focused on the main goal. Because if a person is not careful, he can be distracted by the worldly life and his focus can turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he can be preoccupied with the worldly life and the dunya. And he can be lost in that and overcome in that. One day he wants to get married, next day he wants a job, then he wants a career, and then he wants a new car, and then he forgets all about these things, and he becomes preoccupied with all of these things, chasing these things, and he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he forgets about the means that will lead to the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. And maybe he will start chasing some things that will take him away from the one who he initially intended. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll be taken away from this because he did not focus. So here the issue is about focusing the determination and focusing the intention and being truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a difference between being sincere and singling out Allah alone for worship and then being truthful in the performance of that worship and having integrity in the deen. So the first one is called Tawheed al-Matlub. And the second one is called Tawheed al-Talab. Or Tawheed al-Murad, or Tawheed al-Irada. This is the difference between al-Ikhlas wa Siddiq, the difference between sincerity and truthfulness. And the third issue here, fi wahidi ani sabil al-haqi wal imani, yani Tawheed al-Tariq al-Musil ila Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person, he must make his pathway that he is upon, he must make the pathway that he's traversing upon one. He must make the one that he's hoping for one. He must make his aim and his goal focused for one. And he must make the path that he's following and traversing upon one. And that is the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of guidance and sincere faith. The third affair here is Tawheed al-Tariq al-Musil ila Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one, he must make the path that he's traversing upon, the path that leads to Allah. He must make that one. He must make that one. And in this manner, he'll be safe from innovation. And from desires. So by singling out Allah alone for the hope and the intention, you need to make the religion sincerity for the sake of Allah. This one is a means to protect from shirk, major and minor. And then singling out a person's desire and his goal and his aim and his determination and focusing on what he wants in this life and in the hereafter. In this manner, a person who will be safe from being distracted and from having too many different conflicting goals and being confused about the path that he's upon. And also it will be a means to help him avoid and stay away from sins. To avoid and stay away from sins, he's focused. He's focused what he wants. He's focused what he wants. He wants to go to Jannah. So a person, maybe he's sincere, but then he will become distracted. He'll become distracted with the worldly life or preoccupied with the worldly life. He'll be deterred away from the path of Allah and all different avenues, and this avenue in business or in this avenue and so on and so forth until he's lost in the worldly life. He's not focused. He's not set in his mind with determination. He's striving hard to be firm on the straight path. So these are two different affairs. The first one is a means to be safe from shirk in both aspects, major and minor. The second one is a means to be safe from becoming distracted and detoured and from falling into sins and misguidance. And the third affair, to single out the path that one is traversing upon, is a means to be safe from falling into desires and into innovations. So these affairs, they must be singled out. The one that one is hoping for, and a person, his intention and his aim in his life, and likewise the path that he follows. All of these things must be singled out. The one that a person he is worshipping, it must be Allah alone with no partners. And his intention, it must be the pleasure of Allah and not anything else. And then he must follow diligently, absolutely, and restrict himself to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prefer that. Al-alamatu al-khamisa, the fifth sign, min alamati sihhat al-qalbi al-ihtimamu bi tashihi al-aqwali wal-a'mali wal-niyati ala al-ikhlas bihaythu takunu kulluha khalisatan lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala la yabtaghi biha illa wajha Allah. The fifth sign, he says, from the signs of the sound heart is that a person, he has great concern for correcting and making his statements and actions proper, and his intention purely and sincere, and making his intentions pure and sincere, so that all of these affairs, they will be sincerely and wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah, and he's not seeking anything else except for the face of Allah. Meaning he's a person who is striving upon the path of ikhlas, taking himself to account in his statements and actions. Why did he say what he said, and why did he do what he did, and why is he moving the way that he's moving, and what is he really doing in life, and is he truly being sincere, or does he have ulterior motives? And he's someone who will check himself in this manner. And from the best of those to do that was Umar radiallahu anhu, and he would mention radiallahu anhu, hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, that you should take yourself to account before you'll be taken to account. And from his supplications, rahimahullah, he would say, Allahumma ja'al amali kullahu salihan wa li wajhika khalisan wa la taj'al li ahadin fihi shay'a. Oh Allah, make all of my actions righteous, and for your face purity and sincere, and do not make any portion of my deeds for anyone else whatsoever. The Salaf, a number of them, they have mentioned that this is a very great and beneficial supplication. Allahumma ja'al amali kullahu salihan wa li wajhika khalisan wa la taj'al li ahadin fihi shay'a. So a person has to strive upon that way and be diligent. And from the means to be safe from shirk and from bad intentions and ulterior motives, that a person, he'll take himself to account, and he will check into his intentions, and he will look into his affair, and he will talk to himself. He'll talk to himself about what he's doing and about why he's doing it. He'll remind himself to be sincere. And he'll remind himself to be truthful. And he'll remind himself to be honest. And he'll remind himself to be diligent. He'll remind himself to be forbearing and to be forgiving and so on and so forth. Remind himself to apply the knowledge that he knows. He'll remind himself that what he has learned is a proof against him if he did not apply it properly. All of these affairs will be on his mind and things that he's concerned with and that he's thinking about, because he's hoping for the pleasure of Allah. So from the signs here is that he's concerned with his statements and actions. Are they proper? Is his intention good? Looking into these affairs. looking into these affairs. After this, he mentions the sixth issue. The sixth issue. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, tomorrow we'll continue in this work. Tomorrow we'll continue in this work instead of the normal class. And finish this chapter, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.